listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz. Wayne, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bruce. It's good to be alive.
Sure, it's another great day to be alive. It sure is.
I'll tell you what, you know, we talked earlier and got me thinking that a lot of times coaching, whether you're the coach, the coachee, or maybe you're a coach out there listening to the show, sometimes we all need a checkup from the neck up, because we can start to get some hardening of the attitudes. And, you know, this is a good time to talk about some of that kind of stuff, I think. This show offers so much, and the people that we've had on and we've got scheduled in the future, and we're going to continue to schedule, have me just all kinds of excited. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, next week we have James Krause with us. He's another UFC fighter as well as trainer and promoter, and kind of a thought leader in many ways. So this, you know, James is kind of a renaissance man in the space. And then tell us about the fellow, Mr. Matt, after him.
Oh, listen, well, it's actually Ryan. You get that.
Ryan, I keep on calling him.
Yeah. Listen, he's a great young man that is, he's a president and CEO of a company, and he's 40 years old.
Man, it's great.
And I'm not talking a little bitty company. I'm talking a huge. I'm going to toot his horn. I'll let him discuss it more in a couple of weeks. But he has earned that position, and rightfully so. He's a man's man and a people's person. He touches everybody. He has that personal touch, which is, you know, with these lockdowns and the COVID thing, I think that's something that has been getting more and more important, that we're getting back in touch with that personal touch, that personal relationship. I just got off a call with a group in Italy. And if I were traveling a lot today, like I used to, and I were in Italy, I would not have the relationship with all those people that I would have doing a Zoom call, because you just can't touch them all individually as much as you can if you're on a Zoom call, because you get more intimate. You know, you can discuss some more, and I've gotten to be closer to a lot of people that I've known. You know, I go to big conventions and stuff, and I would see them. Mm-hmm. But when you're one-on-one, or you're one-on-20 or something, you're doing special training and coaching, it's different. So it's a good thing. There's good that comes, you know, there's always a silver lining behind those clouds. All depends on how we look at it. It's not what happens or what position we're in, but how do we react to it and how do we handle it?
That's right. And how do we adapt?
Adapt, that's the best word, yes. You know, our business is one of adapting. Because let me just start. Can I continue? But, you know, when I started with this company, and we do in-home presentations. We'd come into your home. We'd come into your home and cook a show, and you and your wife would invite five other couples. Now, this was many, many years ago, when it was easy to get five couples. People were more into visiting, you know, and socializing.
That's right.
Life was maybe a little slower. There was no internet and all that kind of stuff. But five couples. And that went from that to now, years and years later, here we are today, where we have lockdowns, where you can't go out of your house, you can't do this. And guess what? People adapted. You said the magic word. Mm-hmm. I mean, our business in March of 20, when did that happen?
2020.
Yeah. By March of 2020, it was graveyard dead. It was graveyard dead. And we are in a direct sales company. It was graveyard dead. Mm-hmm. We had to adapt, and we didn't know how to adapt. You know who figured it out? Is the people out in the field. They were the ones that figured it out. They were the ones that took the in-person presentation and thought, wow, Zoom really wasn't that big yet. You know, Zoom was just coming on into meetings, but it got big during the pandemic. I wish I'd have had a lot of stock in that. But we had a dealer in San Francisco, one of our top dealers. And she's been around for many years. She's a legend. And she has not done a personal presentation in many, many years. So along came the pandemic and everything fell off. I mean, dealerships collapsed. They lost their people. They went to do something else or collected whatever, but they weren't with them. Well, she said, I got to do something. Now, she didn't need the money, but she just had to do something. She was a go-getter. She figured out. She went out and started cooking shows virtually. In other words, she would call some people up and say, let's have a video. Let's do FaceTime and these other things. Then they got into the Zoom. And now today, 90% of our business is virtual. And we're having record months. Mm-hmm. And we're a company that, when I saw record months, I'm telling you, we do about $8 million a week just in our company. $8 million a week, that's not too shabby. And we do it, like I said, 80, 90% of that is virtual. So as we come in and out of that pandemic, a lot of people are sticking with virtual. They don't know any different.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, it sounds like, during the pandemic and people being quarantined or living at home a lot, certain industries really picked up. I know my industry picked up, but think about all the in-home fitness equipment. You couldn't find a dumbbell to save your life, and they're going $2-3 a pound, just a regular dumbbell. These exercise bikes, but also food. And I don't want to get too deep into the food thing, but I think, food preparation, et cetera, because that's probably the best thing you have to look forward to in a pandemic other than, probably that before your favorite TV show or going to sleep. So I think, So the point you made in our pre-production call is that this growth and this adaptation happened in the field, not with the CEOs, the CFOs, the boardroom, not the ivory tower. So
yes,
people on the ground that made this adaptation and actually go from surviving to thriving. It seems.
And that's exactly the term that we've used, from surviving to thriving. It's an amazing. Actually, our parent company, our manufacturer, could not believe what happened. They really expected everything to die. They really did, because, when you talk about it didn't happen in the ivory tower, so to speak. That is so true, because, we have... how much money you put in marketing, how much money you put in all this stuff, and you start looking at all that. And what happened? It happened on the ground. Mm-hmm. It happened where the boots are, mm-hmm. where the boots are on the ground, and dealers and people in our business had car payments still, they had house payments, or they had obligations, office and staff. They figured out a way to do it. It surprised everyone, including themselves,
right?
And but then they got better and better, and here we are 18 months pretty much into doing it, and it's been an amazing journey. We had our first in-person travel club. We have incentives, and people can earn their way to Orlando, Florida. This is just in the North America part.
Sure.
And they had their first in-person one. And they had about 200 people, and they had an amazing time. But that's the first one now. And thankfully, no one came back, you know, and got sick. So that's always a good sign, too. We were a little nervous about that. But even when our business goes back to in person, mm-hmm. we're going to have a large chunk that will not go back. They were brought into business in virtual, and that's all they know. And it's a whole new business. I mean, someone can come in that maybe they have children at home. They can't, you know, go out a lot of evenings, or they can't take a lot of evenings away from home. Mm-hmm. They can do all sitting from their home. And it takes about an hour and a half, where years ago when I was talking about five and six couples, it would take us 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Plus a drive there and drive back. Mm-hmm. So now it takes an hour and a half max, you know. It's just an amazing change, even for an old boy like me to yeah. see that happen.
If you can get in three shows a day, man, that's triple the.
Yeah. It's scary. It's wild. So it's just a good thing when you think about what this has done for those people that have come into the business. I mean, you know, when you're coaching somebody, or you're and every person in our business actually is a coach. I just got off that call in Italy, and I was talking about the basics of the business, and it's to get referrals. You know, you always have to get good referrals, or you have to build your organization. You have to train, and you have to learn how to sell a little bit. But that's it. There isn't any more than that. So it doesn't take long to train that. And once you train that, your job then is just to keep motivating people to do that more often and to do it better. It's no more important than that. So you become a coach. I mean, by default.
That's right.
You know, you become a coach, and you have to coach people how to get excited about doing the same thing. It's kind of like, you know, you bring that pig back in the barn, you put different lipstick on it, and you run it back out, but it's the same pig. You've got to be excited about that. Can you imagine? Everybody knows the name of a famous actor named Yul Brynner. Remember the bald guy?
Oh, yeah.
He was in The Magnificent Seven, I believe, was one of the movies he was in, but he was most famous for playing on Broadway in The King and I. Mm-hmm. He did over 5,000 performances on Broadway. Gosh darn, think of that. Now, can you imagine doing 5,000 of anything and doing it the same thing over and over and over and over again? Boy, I mean, gosh. But yet he would keep getting Tony Awards and all this recognition. And he was just such a special person. He said that every performance of The King and I, when he was backstage before he went on, his hands would get sweaty.
Yeah.
And he would get butterflies in his stomach. You see, that's what we have to do. That's when I was talking in the very beginning about a checkup from the neck up and Harmony of the Attitudes. There's people that would stand backstage in our life, and we would not get sweaty palms, or we won't get butterflies. Then we don't have that enthusiasm. He went out there like it was his first time every time. And so should we in our life, whatever we do. We've got to go out there like it's our first time. And remember that in sales, it's not the knowledge that makes the sale. It's the enthusiasm.
It is. If I had a nickel for everybody that I've encouraged to get the CPC credential, you being one of them, all my prior co-hosts, everybody has, you know what I mean? I that coaching school should put a bronze statue of me in the front of the building.
They sure should. They sure should. Yes.
And I don't mean that in a narcissistic way, just out of sheer force of number of people that have gone through that program. So, you know why? Because I believed in it, you know, and people, it's like, man, you know, really, you're already licensed mental health professional. And yeah, but I've done so much more revenue as a coach than I did as a licensed revenue professional. People are like, wow, really? And I'm like, yeah, let me tell you, you know, you can structure these 3 months, 3-month coaching engagements for several thousands of dollars for the 3 months. And you get 10 of those or 20 of those or 30 of those in a year. It adds, you know, it adds up to a satisfying living. And people would just get blown away and they could see it, Wayne. They could just, not necessarily the dollar sign, but they could see, wow, I mean, this guy's doing it. Why, well, you know, maybe I can do it. I'm like, yeah, you know.
I mean, it gives purpose.
Yeah.
It gives purpose.
And motivation.
I would encourage everyone on that listens to this radio program to get into a coaching program where you can learn.
Now, I want to take this minute. This is why did you get the CPC? How was it that I was able to convince you to get this credential? What was it? And you're Wayne Fritz, man. You're the salesman, man. I mean, so what is it that why did you decide to get this?
Well, honestly, Bruce, I went on your recommendation. I'm serious. I really did. I was curious. But what I got out of it was way more than what I thought I would get out of it.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I went on your recommendation, but man alive, when I was there, what I got out of it was number one, I got holy mackerel. I've been doing a lot of this stuff. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. It's a way to synthesize things.
Yes. That you can do. I mean, a lot of people, even on this radio that listen to this radio program and have, they have the ability to be a good coach. I'm sure. They just need to know that. They just need to get some direction in that. And that's what you actually gave me the opportunity to do. You know, I was pedaling along. Wow. And I went and wow, I was blown away.
Right. So, okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, so here we have a guy who, Wayne Fritz over here, right next to me, who has been, anyway, salesman, trainer, everything you can imagine. But he's also, and Wayne hasn't even broken out yet. Wayne's personality is so positive and infectious, man. It's unbelievable. So, and that's, I think that's one of the things that, you know, to see him live or even to see me live, I think I'm a little bit better in person than I am online. But anyway, to see what he's done and what he can do through the lens of a coach, it puts it together in a special way. And also it's more palatable to be coached, right? It's not as palatable to be mentored because you feel like I'm less than, and I need to get mentored to be better. You know what I mean? But coaching somehow takes the sting out of counseling. It takes the sting out of even mentorship, takes the sting out of sponsorship, I think. So anyway, I just wanted to capitalize on that moment there.
That's interesting you put it like that, Bruce. You know, in sports, for an example, they don't call them mentors, they call them coaches.
That's right.
You know, and in golf, which I love to mostly watch a lot of now, but they just, these young people kill me at what they do, but they have coaches. And that's the first people they thank. And they, even a pro has a coach. And they don't call them mentors, they call them coaches. And it does take a little bit of the stigma, you know. Yeah, that's interesting that you said that. I didn't think of it like that, but it sure is. And a lot of, I talk to the people listening to this program that look inside yourself. What do you have to offer? What's your experience? You've got experience. I don't care what your age is. You've got some kind of experience and you can share that. And, you know, it's important that we share that stuff. Other people need it. Hey, guess what, Bruce? Do you know that? Think about in the early days when in America, when there was a lot of Indian tribes. Now, you think the Cherokee was the first one and only one that had a written alphabet. So they had a printing press. But most culture in the Indian nations was passed down around the fire.
Right.
It was passed down, and I mean it was spoken and passed down and passed. And you know what that was? It was coaching. It was coaching. It was coaching. So coaching is not a new thing. That's how people remember and know their heritage.
Right. Their legacy.
Mm-hmm. So much. So everybody that listens to this program, they've got some real nuggets that they could share. They just have to unlock those nuggets. And that's what you did somewhat with me. You gave me a whole new, one guy said proceptive, but you gave me a whole new perspective on what that word even means.
Yeah. And so, and it provides, it uses positive psychology and more positive paradigms to get people to the next level where they need to be. Good coaches ask good questions. And so, we use that to help people get to the next level. We don't do that in other paradigms and mentoring. We teach one, show one, do one, and there's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. I'm taking, in the process of taking some advanced licenses through the FCC. I'm a ham operator. And so, getting through Morse code and all this other stuff was a beating. And I have a technician license, but I literally need, it's called an Elmer. That's what you call it in ham radio. And so you have this Elmer who's like your Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor. anyway, but I need that mentoring. I need that, like, I have a radio that is so complex, Wayne. I mean, it is space age. It's called Shack in a Box, and it's,
whoa.
It'll talk all over the world. It'll do all this other stuff, but God, you got to know how to operate this thing, man. And it is a technical piece of equipment, and I need help with that. So I need somebody to show me how to use this piece of equipment. So I'm in a special Facebook group of morons. Not really. I'm the moron. They're not morons, but I have to say, look, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer here. Please help me with this and this and this. And so anyway, so all I'm saying is that there is a place for mentoring and therapy and all that other good stuff in this world. It's just, you want that round peg, round hole experience. And so coaching is always a good place to start. And I've enjoyed that. I got to tell this one story real quick.
Oh, good.
I'm working with a young man, and he graduated with a business degree from an area university, and he did pretty well with his business degree. He decided to try a master's in analytics, business analytics. And that wasn't for him. And he dropped out. He was still passing, but he dropped out of the analytics master's. He comes to my office, and he's clinically depressed about dropping out, and nobody's going to hire him, and this is a big failure point in his life. And I'm like, absolutely not. I said, absolutely not. We're gonna craft a story. We're just a story arc, using all these technical terms. We're gonna have a story arc that says, hey, You discovered that master's in analytics wasn't for you, but your real passion is with sales or with client facing or with whatever else. Anyway, long story short, he went on some interviews. He got picked up immediately, and not one of these major employers saw his departure from the master's as a failure. They said, "Hey, you're being true to yourself. You realized your limitations. It helped define your goals. It helped you to get in front of us for a job interview today." So you know what I mean? So something that seemed really negative, we were able to really get this into a positive frame without being deceptive, without being, these are all facts, right? And another young man that I'm working with, early mid-20s, got his college degree, goes with one of the big investment firms, right? So he has a college degree, and this big investment firm sits him in a cubicle handling client complaint calls all day. He's not cut out for that. So he leaves the big investment firm, but he's feeling kind of down and he's a failure. I'm like, wait a minute. Let's look at what you got. You have some experience now with a Fortune 50 company. Yeah. And you're going to be just fine. And sure enough, you know, I was able to encourage him to put in for these jobs, and he's fine. So these folks' biggest enemy was their mind, you know.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, well.
My biggest enemy, too. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, even Arnold Palmer said that 90% of the game of golf is played above the head.
It's what
we put up here. It's whatever the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. So that's amazing. And you know, it comes through, though. It's like you said, this guy thought he had failed everything in the world and probably felt down and dejected and couldn't do anything. But through a little bit of coaching, seriously. And that's what a coach, you know, I always have these and we've commented on them before, but, you know, you never know.
There you go.
Sometimes a coach just does this.
That's right.
And that's so important to people. Coaching is we have to listen.
Got to listen.
And, man, you learn that kind of stuff. So,
thing is, if I believe in you, you should believe in you.
It helps.
If I believe you can do it, you should be able to believe you can do it. Because actually, this is anti-coaching, because I've been doing this for so long and I have a good eye and a lot of experience, if I say that I think you could do this, you probably can do it because of my experience and wisdom of seeing thousands of people in 30 plus years. I've had to say that maybe 3 or 4 times, right? To somebody like, look, if I believe in you, you should believe in you, right? Because I don't waste time, you know, whatever.
So that's what a good coach would say that. And that's, again, that comes down to what a coach and that's what, I'm going to come back to that, getting that certificate. That's what they give you. They give you that, they bring all that to they focus right in on that. And they let you know that what you have is a value and that you're needed.
Yeah.
So I'm a very big, I'd be a salesperson for that coaching certificate, just like you were.
And
Bruce, it changed a lot of stuff for me.
Yeah.
You know, you being my coach did a lot for me. So that's how it works. You believe.
And you know what, though? I have folks I look up to as well. Like everybody, you're not too old to not have some sort of a coach or somebody in your life. You know what I mean? And with this color hair and you know what I mean? We're not necessarily super spring chickens like we used to be. And yet we still see the value of that. We still seek the advice and counsel and words of others, you know, even at our stage,
yes,
in our respective careers. And so, I'm reading stuff now about startups and blockchain and trying to get with the new line of thinking here. So I know that having children in their 20s helps me stay a little current with what they're dealing with. So I have more things to talk about and share with them and ask them, you know, ask them, hey man, tell me about this. Tell me about this cryptocurrency. Tell me what you think here. Why did you buy that stock versus this stock? And what's going on with this? And so, I've gone from kind of old guy to having cryptocurrency and a Celsius account that provides about 10% interest on decentralized cryptocurrency. I know that's not going to last forever. The tax man's going to figure that out sooner or later. But anyway, man, that's some far out stuff there that I would never have given the time of day. Like, oh, that's just a bunch of crap.
you've got, just like anything else, we have to go through life willing to learn.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what our age is. The mind's kind of like a parachute, they say. Neither one of them are worth anything unless they're open.
So let's go back for a second. So you told a story about folks and that you work with that during the pandemic they were able to pivot, utilize technology, and actually go from surviving to thriving. The new paradigm, running shows. One of the things I thought was really interesting that you shared with me, I want you to talk about that for a little bit, but you said that some of these people had some pre-made videos for maybe, 45 seconds or 90 seconds that showcases what it's looked like to cook corn versus a steak or whatever. Anyway, if you want to just expand on that a little bit, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, when we started the virtual program, we would do it just like we were doing it in person. We'd have a flip chart, a storyboard. Yep. And we would cook the food in front of them on video, and we would do everything that we did in person except touch, see, and feel. I mean, they couldn't smell the food. They didn't get to eat the food and all that kind of stuff. But what happened is somebody that would do four shows in a day all of a sudden had four dinners they had to eat. And so it's the same dinner every time.
Yeah.
They were thinking, hey, we need to change this thing a little bit. But remember, they did it, not people in the corporate office. And so they started using, we have these, they call them teaser videos. We have a new product come out, or we take one of our pieces and marketing department would make a little video. This was before the COVID lockdown. And they would make a video just of a recipe to showcase that item. Mm-hmm. So these smart dealers then they'd just take these little videos. They were like 1 minute to 2 minutes. And they would piece this together and they would say, so here's how we fry chicken with no oil. Mm. And here's a skillet. It'll be a video.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to fry the chicken in front of them. They just showed this little video. They showed a video of how to cut a salad. They showed a video of vegetables and talked about the benefit of, no water. The nutritional value and savings and all that. They showed the stovetop flame in a video. So they're just punching different videos and then following it up with some talk. It's just amazing what had happened. That's why I cut it down to about an hour and a half. And listen, if somebody knows how to show those videos, seriously, now I'm not being facetious, but you could take a moron and remove half of their brains and they could do one of these presentations. Right. I mean, look at me. So,
case in point.
Yeah. So it's a much easier way to train.
Yeah.
It solves a whole lot of trouble getting people into the business and getting that opportunity. Just great.
Great video. I love the fact that it opened up a new sales force of people who might be parents, stay-at-home parents, whatever, that can actually have a meaningful income and part of their life and be able to do it from home. I think that's fantastic. And that wouldn't have happened unless it was.
That is a big benefit. That is a huge benefit. And, if you have someone new in this business or somebody young that they just don't have a lot of experience, what they're doing is they're using these professional videos. So they don't have to explain this fantastic skillet or this piece or whatever. They'll take somebody else, a professional could do that. Then they can come in and say, isn't that pretty? And so somebody is helping them do their work.
That's exciting.
That's exciting.
It's leaner, meaner, more efficient, quicker. You can, like you said, if you book 3-4 shows a day and just think of the requisite income that would come up just by chance, just by baseline. I can only imagine the income that would bring the company per se. And the individual, the more shows you do, the more you make type of thing, I think.
Yes.
So, no, that's exciting stuff, man. I mean, that's I mean, the more clients I see, the more, you know what I mean? Right. I mean, the more clients I see, so it's not like it's a far fetched, you know, concept. No. So there is this, there's this one service that I have, not service, but in 2002 or something, when I was getting my practice started, I enlisted in this thing where the first session was free and they kind of kept me on the whole time. And so it's pretty interesting. You know, and usually I retain 99% of those clients anyway, you know what I mean? They keep coming anyway. So, but the first session's free. I kind of remember, you know, kind of remember that. And so, you know, a lot of times you get into that pay for service model, you know, and you're not used to doing that free consultation. But, every now and again, I had one of those today. And the guy was like panicking, like, I saw what you charge, but now today's free, right? Like, yeah, the first one's free. The guy was in a full panic. I'm going to make him wash dishes or something in the back of the hall room.
Something about coaching that when we're talking to people, one of the things that you want to be able to do is it can't all be about you.
Yeah.
And if you want to build a business with coaching, you have to be willing to invest to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get heat out of the furnace until you put some wood in.
Woo! No pun intended, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But so yeah, man. I'm really excited to hear, and I can't wait to hear from some of Ryan and you spoke of a lady.
I want to talk with her and get her on our program.
I just want to tell the story. It's not my person; it's Wayne's person. But this lady, from what I understand, had built up a practice, if you will, where she was never really having to do these demonstrations because she had so many people underneath her doing them for her. And then when COVID hits, you know, there's this chaos and confusion, and this lady finds herself getting back to her roots. Right. And
exactly.
Doing demonstrations and whatnot. And then, oh, I love that. That's so humbling, isn't it?
And that's the ticket. It's humbling. But she did it. It's just, listen, we've got a guy in our business that's over 85 years old. And he still is one of the top dealers in the world. You ought to hear him. He's written a few books now. And he's a good Christian man. And he called me the other day talking about the young people today and how excited he is for them.
Oh, really? So just,
yeah, when you get that kind of an attitude, an attitude of gratitude, they say, it can turn your life around. And if you have that attitude, you can turn other people's lives around. It's humble is a big deal. Being humble is a big deal.
Yeah.
You can't teach that.
No.
Yeah, I'm humble. I'm humble. Just ask me.
Yeah. You know,
it's a hard thing. You can't teach that. So our businesses, but every business, business is the same. It has to do usually with, you've got to deal with people somehow, sometime, somewhere. If it's a bank, if it's at the grocery store, the hardware store, wherever, you've got to deal with somebody somewhere, sometime, somehow. And it's good to have somebody to motivate the motivator. You know, and that's what you did with me, Bruce. If I could say another thing about coaching, I've done all right. I've done very well. I've been very blessed. But every day in our life is not the best day of our life. Unfortunately, we have those Murphy's laws and we have things that come in and slap us right upside the head and knock us down. But we're very blessed in our lives if we have even just a few people throughout our life that come along and lift us back up or help us back up, give us a hand up. You were one of those people. Through your coaching, that did affect me. It affected me in a very positive way, got me looking at things differently. And so, you know, I'm always going to thank you. Well, but see, that look at how humble you are. I am. No. Yeah, but you know what? I hope I can have that same effect on other people.
Also. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are, and you're doing it 10, 20, 30 fold with the way that you can engage your people through technology and Zoom meetings. So you're really impacting hundreds, if not thousands of people. So no, man, I applaud that. But thank you very much for the kind words you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say, you know, it's just kind of part of the process, right? If you're a coach and you do what you're supposed to do as a coach, then by default, good things are going to happen on the other end of that equation. And they absolutely have, you know, but again, I mean, you had, I'll say this, and you know this, you had a head start. I mean, you had a head start. Come on. If there was anybody who had a head start, I think you're the only, you're one of the few, other than myself, you, me and you are Siamese twins on the head start brothers, getting into this coaching thing. So, I do appreciate what you're saying. And I value what you're saying, but also, man, after meeting you and seeing what you had done and accomplished, it was just a real easy turn the key, you know, 5 degrees, and that was a wrap. I mean, this was a layup. So with all due respect, brother, you're a free throw shot or a layup to success. So I'll take the credit.
You deserve it. You know, I appreciate it. I mean, we make a good team.
Yeah, man. Anyway.
One thing I never want to forget in my career, and also even what I talk about in my coaching, is don't forget the fun factor. Don't forget to laugh. You know, you've got to laugh. You've got to have fun.
Yeah.
It's who wants to listen to Digger Odell, the Friendly Undertaker? Oh, yeah. You know, are you here for the Joneses or the Smith? The Joneses are down in the cathedral, down in the deal on the left. Okay. No, you know, I read something the other day. I like words, and I know you're a man of words also, Bruce. And I read that, you know, when fish are in schools, they sometimes take debate. That's supposed to be funny. They sometimes take the bait, debate.
Debate. Oh, got it. Debate.
I knew a thief one time that stole a calendar and he got 12 months. But anyway, you always want to have fun. Right. You always want to have fun, even if it's just dumb fun. But you got to have something to laugh with. And you got to have something to laugh at yourself with. I'll tell you, I used to introduce people. And before I started anything and stuff, I could not talk in front of a group of people more than one. One was a large group. But as I got better, this business made me, you know, it brought a lot out in me. But there was a guy I learned something from, and I used it. I didn't make it up. I stole it and used it myself. But I would talk about somebody. I would stand in front of a group of maybe 500 or 1,000 people, and I would be introducing. Maybe I'd be introducing Bruce Cameron, my friend. And I'd say, now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you the next guy that we're going to have up here as a speaker. I've known him so many years, and he's such a good guy. As a matter of fact, out of all the people I've ever met in this world, he's one of them. And everybody just clap, 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 because it just go over their head. And you just like to see that.
So, Wayne, here's what I would do. I'd say, hey, thanks, Wayne. Appreciate the welcome. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, I always wanted to join the circus. But also, when I was growing up as a kid, I always wanted to be a cop. So I joined the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And I got both.
See, that's awesome.
It's a good one, you know. Yeah.
See, laughing is scientifically proven to keep us younger and to keep our stress level down. So you got to laugh. And your life's going to be a whole lot better.
All right, brother. We got 5 minutes left here. And But good points. You know, good points made today. Always fun to hear about some of the anecdotes and things that y'all are doing, pivoting with technology and rolling with the punches, making the sales, keeping your production team going, making those devices and whatnot.
I look forward to next week.
Yeah, we have James Krause coming in next week. Can't wait to hear from him. He's an awesome guy, man. Just a lot of layers, and can't wait to hear from him. And then we have Ryan coming after that. So can't wait for you to kind of bring out everything, Ryan. I've known about him for years. You've talked so highly of him. I can't wait to have him on the show and see him firsthand. So, well, folks, come by our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show. We have a Facebook page with the video up on there. We're also on Apple Podcasts. See, I'm already showing my age here. Apple Podcast is growing. It makes me real happy. This is the little podcast that could. Of course, thanks to Ronan for putting it up, and thanks to the great Sam Hassan over there at LA Talk Radio taking care of us. I mean, we'd be nothing without them, and we love them dearly. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And folks, how can folks reach you?
Well, the easiest way right now, Bruce, is wayne_515@yahoo.com. Love to hear from anybody.
Yeah, and that's Wayne's email. And even if you contact me through the site or whatever, I'll get the message to Wayne. We're in communication a lot. So, he and I are actually in close physical proximity too. So that's good that we can see each other in a pinch here, go somewhere and drive the whopping 4 miles or whatever to do that. So we got a couple of good shows coming up next week. And also we're on, you know what, I forgot our Instagram. Our Instagram account is concierge_coaches. So we have an Instagram account there too, and has some good pictures of things that have been happening in our coaching careers. And so we'll continue to build on that platform. So other than that, everybody have a blessed week. Stay safe out there. Stay well. I know we have another variant of COVID, I guess, coming down the pike here. We'll see what happens when the weather gets cold, but hopefully everybody will be able to stay safe and healthy. And we look forward to seeing everybody here next week. So, Wayne, you got any thoughts before we go?
Listen, I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the show. And invite your friends to listen and watch.
Please do. Please do. Okay, everybody. Well, until then, have a great time and stay safe. And until next time here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio, we'll see you later. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.